Yeah, tonight, if you take your Bible, please go to Psalm 119. We're going to be looking at a verse of scripture here that's, I think actually Bob mentioned this a week or so ago. And, you know, we've been kind of delving into some of these biblical keys of how the word, you know, came to pass. Bob did a great teaching last night on the workman of the word, being diligent, and that sort of thing. And so we want to continue along those lines, and I've maybe been able to choose a topic that's kind of been near and dear to my heart, and it's on the subject of Orientalisms. You know, the Eastern culture is a lot different. You know, the Bible wasn't written in America. It was written in the Middle East, and a lot of the cultural differences are really interesting to understand in our overall scope of understanding of the scriptures. So I thought tonight we'd pick three, and, you know, I think as time goes on, have more chance for these to be developed. Other types, there's wonderful resources out there. Tonight I'm using as a resource a booklet that I've had for a number of years, still in print, I believe, called Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind. And it's written by Barbara M. Bowen. Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind. And so these are things that, you know, aren't so familiar to us, or if they are familiar with, we just get more insight into them. So the first one we're going to look at is Psalm 119:105. And Psalm 119:105 starts out by saying, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And they write here, "Several years ago, we were on our way from Emmaus to Jerusalem late at night, traveling on donkey back. As we rode along, we noticed a path at a distance, but leading to ours, along which some men were walking. As they approached us, we noticed that as they walked over this narrow, stony path, filled with holes and many good places to stumble, a little light kept shooting out before them. We waited until they joined us and found they had small foot lamps. Some had straps tied around the ankle, with a small clay lamp attached. Others were larger clay lamps carried in the hand. They would swing the lamp a few feet before them to throw a light on the stony, unsafe path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God does not promise light for a mile ahead or a half mile, but for one step at a time. And I just thought that was so sweet, to have a little greater understanding of the Eastern culture and what these lamps really did, where they brightened the path. And then as you would take one step, then another step, then another step. I mean, how much of a comparison is that to the walk we have? And it says, "Thy word." And I just love that at the very end where it says, God does not promise light for a mile ahead or a half mile, but for one step at a time. So beautiful. The second one we're going to be looking at is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, always been kind of a unique scripture verse. This is where Jesus is commissioning 70 to go out. And he makes some very unique statements. "And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide." So he sends out the 70 helpers with these instructions. "Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire." You know, when we read this, I mean, I don't think we completely understand exactly what he's saying. And so, you know, possibly it sounds strange to our ears, but, you know, there are a lot of people to carry the good news to, and not much time in which to accomplish the work. And so when a stranger arrived in a village or an encampment, the people, one after another, must invite him to eat with them. There's a very strict custom about it involving much hypocrisy, and any failure to observe this law of hospitality is violently resented by all the neighborhood and often leads to feuds. This hospitality consumes an enormous amount of time, leads to levity and gossip, and in every way would counteract the success of the spiritual mission on which the disciples were sent. On account of all of these obstacles, the helpers were instructed to avoid all these feasts. Christ was sending them out not to be honored and feasted, but to call men to repentance. They were, therefore, first to find a suitable place to lodge in and to remain there until their work for the Lord in that village was accomplished. He said, "Go not from house to house and carry no script." The script, S-C-R-I-P, is the whole skin of a kid dried, kid being a lamb. It is fastened to the belt or cord and is thrown over the shoulder under the outer garment. The traveler will carry in this script bread, figs, and olives, enough to last on his journey. The disciples were told not to take script or food with them. And what a great opportunity for them then to really trust God and avoid all the distractions that, you know, culturally could present themselves in those situations. So it's neat to see kind of the cultural aspect of, you know, what was, you know, really expected in hospitality things, and then what Jesus told them to really stay focused on the mission, so to speak. That's what I would, you know, kind of say about it for sure. And finally, in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, I'm sure you've maybe done some work on this or read about it or heard about it at some point. Romans 12, 20. Interesting section of the word that has caused, I think, some confusion for sure. Romans 12, 20. And let's see, I'm going to look that up right here. Romans 12, 20. Yep. And it says, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head." This is from the New King James Version, but the King James is very, very similar to that. And so the scriptures have much to say about forgiving our enemies. Paul says that if we give food and drink to our enemies, quote, "we shall be heaping coals of fire on their heads." To us, this doesn't sound like forgiveness, but like taking vengeance, right? In the Bible lands, however, almost everything is carried on the head. Water jars, baskets of fruit, vegetables, fish, or any other article. Those carrying the burden rarely touch it with the hands, and they walk through crowded streets and lanes with perfect ease. In many homes, the only fire they have is kept in a brazier, which they use for simple cooking as well as for warmth. The plan is to keep it always burning. If it should go out, some member of the family will take the brazier to a neighbor's house to borrow fire. Then she will lift the brazier to her head and start for home. If her neighbor is a generous woman, she will heap the brazier full of coals. To feed an enemy and give him drink was like heaping the empty brazier with live coals, which meant food, warmth, and almost life itself to the person or home needing it, and was the symbol of finest generosity. Again, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So isn't it fun to, and you know, working the word, studying the word, applying the word, all these things can really be adventurous in a learning of, you know, the culture that the Bible was written, how the people lived. You know, Jesus said and did a lot of things and spoke in parables and in abstract concepts. But yet once we glean the spiritual truth of you know, what was being said, or some of these Orientalisms, other things where we can look maybe at some of the ancient languages. I don't think it's necessary for all of us to have to, you know, study ancient languages. There are people who are more skilled and have a greater hunger and desire to do that, and God bless them. And we get to benefit from that research. But there are many other ways as well. And this tonight, I think, is a prime example of how, you know, we can take something that, you know, it's just a really, I guess, interesting and dynamic topic that's still very simple. And it broadens and gives us a greater base of understanding of God, His love for His people, and just the scriptures in general, because it's a never-ending resource of life. It's the living word, so it's not like it ever runs out. It's not like you ever get too much. And then we learn to strike that balance between our understanding and knowledge of the scriptures and our application of the scriptures and really learning to walk by the Spirit of God. And we learn all that kind of as a balance and a blend from knowing the Word and living the Word. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be together, and that we are looking and becoming more like Jesus, like Zach Williams sung about there earlier. And, Father, that's the great desire of our heart, and we hunger after that. We thirst after that, Father. So fill us even more with greater knowledge and understanding and greater application so that we are confident men and women to walk by the Spirit of God every second of every day, Father, and that's where we find our greatest joy. Thank you for those who have joined tonight, that this will be just a little bit more that will help them be maybe a more complete in their understanding, and will inspire and possibly bring people to do research and study of their own of these types of things. So we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and goodness and watchful care over us, and being tender with us, Father, and so gentle. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.